In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Deacon René Griner, I believe is what it is, or something close to that, a deacon of the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, who passed away yesterday morning. Good man who also served as, I believe, the chaplain to our Catholic high school here in the Archdiocese in Albuquerque of St. Pius X High School. So please pray for the repose of his soul and for the consolation of his family during this difficult time, as many of us know all too well. Remember what we've been talking about the past few days. Here we have this lesson from Leviticus. This lesson from Leviticus, and what does it say here in Leviticus? Why is it that the church proposes to us these readings, which she does during this time of Passion Time? Remember, all the readings are for a purpose. What's that purpose? The purpose is not to speak to you and me who are living our Catholics every day of our life as Catholics. Rather, it's mainly focused upon whom? Just like we talked about yesterday and the day before, who? And you weren't paying attention, maybe. Think back to it. Who was it to be addressed? The catechumens. Remember, those who are getting ready to enter into the Christian faith for the first time in their lives. Remember, in the early time of the church, it took 3 years to enter through that RCIA program that they had there, which demanded a whole lot of them. Unfortunately, our programs today demand very little and are basically put off to the side because we somehow believe that everybody is already an anonymous Christian already to begin with. So what conversion of life is there needed to have? And that's how we end up with the state of the church as it is, sadly. But it shall not be so among you, you who are seeking God today. So what is our Lord trying to say to us? He's speaking these words, especially from Leviticus, to these catechumens. You're reading them as catechumens. What should we see? These are final instructions. Final instructions for how we are to live out our Catholic life. From the book of Leviticus. What is the phrase that you heard over and over again addressed here? Four times. Twice very strongly at the end. It began with this phrase. It hit it again shortly after. What are those phrases? It says, I, the Lord, am your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes, for I am the Lord your God. Why is he saying this? Here's the reason why. The reason why he keeps saying it over and over again is because it's not saying, hey, look, you should treat everybody well. Treat them like this because you're some sort of general fraternity of man. It's not what it's about. He's saying, keep the statutes which I give you, which pertain to the respect and the honoring of those who are in your midst, who also take on flesh, not because you need to be kind and have some sort of fraternal relationship with those who are around you because you all come from the same dirt. You share the same basic DNA structure. You're creatures of the same species. That's not what it's about. He's saying, why? Because I am the Lord your God. What he's doing is he's focusing on this. If you do evil to anyone, not just to Catholics, not just to Christians, not just to those who are here in the United States, but to anyone who's made in God's image and likeness, as it speaks about in Holy Scripture, who is the offense primarily against? God. He's saying, I identify myself with every human creature which I have crafted in my image and likeness. And so, if you assault them in any way, you assault me. How would that have hit these pagans? Those who were not Catholic, who were just coming into the faith. These amazing teachings where God is saying, I identify myself with the human person. Not as they would come before and see gods are so much greater than us in their conception, so they don't identify us with us at all. But here, an offense against any, no matter how great or small they are, is an offense against God himself. Do we conceive of things like that? Let's go over some of the ones that should strike us most strongly. Some that maybe we don't really think. It says, one of the second ones, it says, do not swear falsely by my name, thus profaning the name of your God, because I am the Lord. We would normally say that that's what? Second commandment, right? It is. It is the second commandment. What do we say the second commandment is? It's saying don't use curse words. That's false. It's not what that's all about. It's not about curse words. What is it about? That second commandment is exactly what it says here. Don't swear falsely by God's name and thus profaning the name of God. Don't say that God stands for evil. When we say that God stands for evil, or we swear by God that I'm going to do this, and we somehow attach God to an evil action saying, I'm going to do evil in the name of God, what have we done? We've taken the name of God and rubbed it in the dirt and somehow identified the perfect God with our imperfections and our evils. No, keep God's name holy as it is. What else? Here we go. Not just the day labor, but he says, show neither party partiality to the weak, nor deference to the mighty, but judge your fellow men justly. What is he talking about right there? You know, there's a great thing that when I was in seminary that really irked me, and I thought it might be one of the things that get me kicked out of seminary because I was going to disagree with everybody on it, because it just didn't sit right with me, and I have a keen understanding of justice. And so when I was talking with one of my formation directors about this very thing, I said, look, the church, well, I hear all this thing talking about a preferential option for the poor, but I don't get that. Because I don't think we should judge just because somebody's poor or somebody's weak or somebody's disadvantaged in some sort of way, that they should be entitled to anything more. It should only be justice deals with giving one what is due. So whether somebody has a lot or whether somebody has a little should be able to figure out who was wronged and deal in accordance with that. That's what it says here. It says, show neither partiality to the weak, to the poor, nor deference to the mighty, but judge man justly. Judge men justly. So just because somebody is poor and this rich person, maybe he stole money off in the past, doesn't mean that we should attack him because we can't prove that something is there. No, treat everyone the way in which they deserve in the moment. Not taking account of what their status is. What else is here? What else is here? It says, you shall not bear hatred within for your brother in your heart. Though you may have to reprove your fellow man, do not incur sin because of him. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against your fellow man. What is this all about? This very passage right here is talking about this. Not just to don't hate him, don't say raka, as Jesus says in the scripture there, but rather he says this. He says, though you may have to reprove your fellow man, do not incur sin because of him. He's speaking of it this way, saying, look, you live in a world and sometimes people get it wrong, but we share in their wrong when we don't correct them. When we don't bring it to their attention. Actually, in the actual text, it says to do it publicly. That's what it says, to publicly bring it out there. Now, Jesus says that we shouldn't publicly bring out a sin, right? That we should do it with as little public impact as possible, but if something is a public sin, it needs to be dealt with publicly. Just like in the same way, if a pro-abortion politician were in some sort of way to go out and proclaim that pro-abortion stance, they can't really be forgiven of their sin unless they, just as publicly as they proclaimed it formerly, recant those views. Because otherwise, they're not truly turning their heart back to undo the evil that their proclamation of evil did before. So these things are very clear that you and I, if we're going to be Catholic, if we're going to live our lives right, if we're totally going to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we have to take a stake in our own brother and sister's good way of living, to seek to reprove them, to seek to lead them on. Because when we don't, we incur sin because of them. As it says in another place in there, it says that in essence, we tend to have their blood upon our hands. All that takes discernment. All that takes listening to the Holy Spirit. When is the right moment for me to speak up? And when is the right moment for me to shut my mouth? Because I'm only going to drive them further away by speaking now. Maybe sometimes it means praying for somebody else who's better fit to come and correct them in the right way. All these things our Lord wants us to take count of. Why? Not out of some respect for the human person, just because we share a humanity with them, but rather because God shares his humanity with us. the humanity which he took in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. As it says there the fourth time, he is the Lord our God. And so out of respect for the image and likeness which God has planted of himself in each and every human person, so are we to have that same respect for each human person which we encounter. Let's ask our Lord that even in this time when we're separated, even in this time when we're struggling to find out the direction that we're supposed to go as a church, when we're separated from everybody else, to find little ways in which we can seek to respect that humanity in those that we are able to interact with, particularly those in our own household, that we may not be driven against one another in our own quarantines, which is very easy to do, but rather to be driven toward one another and to seek the image of Christ which has been planted in that other person, not taking account of the frustration which I may be experiencing this moment, especially as I'm dealing with the lack of the Eucharist at this time. Our Lord is very near. Ask him to stay with you here in this Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.